If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, and Andy Mazur. It's the Hamp and OB Show. Brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
With the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland.
Exactly. You know it. Wait, what did you say?
Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
This is the NFL Draft. These things happen all the time.
Live from WGN's downtown studios, it's Hamp and OB.
No one said that about Tom Brady when he went 199th. There's no such thing as a sure thing.
It's the Hamp and OB Show.
Go Bears!
Here's Andy Mazur.
And welcome into our draft special. Hamp and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas. It's been a while. There's a whole bunch to talk about, not just the fact that the draft is going on, but we have not been together since the Bears hired Ben Johnson and really went to work in free agency as well, getting rid of some guys that perhaps no one's going to miss and bringing in some guys that can probably fill some holes.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back with the legend here to my left, the great Ed Obradovich. And, you know, he and I, we've had a number of discussions over the last 3 months. And Andy, you know we are not the type of guys that will get giddy. But
mince words.
No. And we are borderline giddy about the direction of our franchise. And OB, I want you to kind of talk about a couple of things that really struck you when Ben Johnson took the reins back in January. And let me just say this first and foremost, you got to put the cheese on the cracker as a head coach. And make no mistake.
He has, Danny.
Well, the Bears have been losers for too long. For 30 years, we have basically been a franchise lost in the wilderness. And to be winners, you've got to learn to do the things the right way. And the things that Ben Johnson talked about at the opening press conference really struck a chord with you.
Yes, it did, Danny. And Ben Johnson, for the people that maybe don't know where, but Ben Johnson was the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. And, boy, you talk about the last couple of years, what the Lions have done offensively. It's amazing. They've been phenomenal. Now, here's a thing. Ben Johnson, he is a demanding individual. He knows football. He knows offense. He has proved it in Detroit and throughout his career. And him coming here to the Chicago Bears, I think, Danny and Andy and to our listeners, is the turning point. The turning point is going to be Ben Johnson. He takes no prisoners. Let me start out by saying this is his starting point with Caleb Williams, our all-world rookie quarterback. Okay? And here's what he told him. He has to relearn how to play in the NFL, a quarterback. His first year here was an absolute disaster. So this is what Ben said to Caleb Williams. He's got to learn to play in the NFL, not at the NFL, but he's got to learn to play in the NFL at a winning level, and that he has to restart, relearn it. Number two, he's got to learn procedure. Number three, Ben told him, huddle. Number four, breaking the huddle. Number five, using cadence. Number six, motion. Number seven, shifts to attack a defense. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's like one other thing Ben Johnson did in addressing the team. You know, sometimes, you know, words have consequences. Words sometimes do, sometimes they don't. But this guy doesn't fool around, folks. And Ben Johnson told the team, and he used two words that struck me, and I haven't heard these words from a coach, But he came in here, tried to start a new culture and a winning culture. And he said to the team, I want to be crystal clear. Let me repeat that. That's what he said. I want to be crystal clear. Now, communication, structure, organization, consistent. And if not, they will hear about it and problems will be solved. So two things. One was to Caleb to learn him to start over in the NFL. And here's how you do it, son. You got a procedure. You got a huddle, breaking the huddle. Things like that, breaking the huddle, using the cadence, motion, shifts to attack the defense. Those two things, crystal clear, and what he's doing with Caleb Williams to start him over, I think is phenomenal, Danny. And I'm so glad we got Ben Johnson. And I think the Bears gave him whatever he wanted. I believe his structure was about $18 million. I think they gave him that, and they gave him total and complete reign, or else he was not going to come here. And I think the Bears had to adhere to that and agree to that, and I think they did. And for once, and I couldn't tell you how many years or decades, the Bears finally made the right move. And I think Ben Johnson is going to take us to places where we'd love to have been, and we will be. There's only one reason why you play this game, and that's to be a world champion. Not to come in second, not to have a good team, not to have a good end. We got to have a lot of good ends, running backs, offensive line, defensive line. And I think Ben Johnson is going to put this together. I haven't been this enthused about the Bears, I couldn't tell you, in what decade.
All right, so those are the opening volleys. We've got a lot to talk about still with Ben Johnson and some of the new faces that'll be around Hallis Hall this year. And also, the draft continues. We'll chat a little bit about the Bears' first-round pick as well, which was a surprise to some, but not to others. I think there was a certain gentleman sitting to my left that may have predicted something of the sort on Friday.
Well, and again, what the great Ed Obradovich just talked about, this draft basically is part of the implementation of that structure. And for folks saying, what, come on, you know, a tight end at the 10th pick in the first round? Well, think about this, folks. The Detroit Lions, three of the last 4 years, have been a top two offense in the NFL. And it has almost operated exclusively with 12 personnel. That is one back, two tight ends. So this is all starting to fit together, Andy.
There you go.
Making sense. Which is something we're not used to seeing.
Yeah, a new addition to our offense for the year 25-26. Could you imagine two tight ends, 165, 166, and going against the four defensive backs that they're going to go week after week that are anywhere from 5'10 to maybe 6'2, maybe weigh 210 pounds, and it's a new addition to our offense. You know, we could go with the flanker back. We do this setup, that setup. Now we can go with two tight ends, and I think Ben is going to rock the North Division.
Creativity breeds success.
You bet.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we'll chat a little bit more about the Bears' first-round draft choice, the tight end out of Michigan, Colston Loveland. Happen to be our draft special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Before I even met him, just watching Detroit last year, the things that they were doing, you know, just he's like, man, really smart, knows what he's doing, knows football. And, you know, finally being able to talk with him, meet with him, and kind of pick his brain. I'm number one fan of that guy for sure. He's legit. He's a stud. And I can't wait to be under that. I know he's going to put us in great positions, put Chicago in great positions to win games. And I'm just super excited for it.
Now back to the Hamp and OB NFL Draft Special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That's wow. Colston Loveland. Talking about his head coach.
That kid can he talk or can he
talk?
Yeah,
he can talk
you
a little bit.
You gotta be kidding me.
And, you know, from watching some highlights of him, the kid can play a little bit too. And again, this kind of shows you the first pick. Colston Loveland is it has Ben Johnson's fingerprints all over it.
Go with a too tight offense. Is he going to use it every quarter, every play? No, it's an addition.
Yep.
And again, like another I said wrinkle. A few minutes ago, you got one guy 6'5", guy, one guy 6'6", that can actually play and move and run and catch the ball going against those defensive backs. It's not going to be a steady diet of it, but it's an addition to attack more.
Something to think about.
Well, and the backstory on this first-round pick, Colston Loveland, you know, he's a kid from a little town out in Idaho. And, you know, obviously that makes you kind of believe that, hey, he's hungry, he's a hard worker, all those things. But I'm thinking, look at the Detroit offense that Ben Johnson was, you know, presenting last year. Their tight end, Sam LaPorta. Sam LaPorta was the Pro Bowl tight end in the NFL.
He's made him NFC. A star, Dan.
Oh, he's made him a star. And you know, there was a rookie last year named Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers was shoved because of the run on quarterbacks. There were six of them in the first 12 picks in last year's draft. Of course, Caleb being the first overall pick. But he was pushed all the way to 13. And he's, you know, a tight end, Brock Bowers from Georgia, who essentially rewrote the record book for rookie tight ends in the NFL. And Colston Loveland is the exact same type of player. Now, think about this, folks. Sam LaPorta, what did he do last year? All he did the last 2 years was catch 146 passes for 1,615 yards and 17 touchdowns over the last 2 years.
We have a tight end that isn't even targeted.
Not even targeted. And, you know, we were just talking about how dysfunctional this football team, let alone the offense, was on every separate level as far as game plan, its structure, the defense, everything. So, Ben Johnson, obviously, he had, you know, a couple of months to assess the talent. And a lot of folks realized the same thing that you were talking about on a weekly basis, which is job one, we got to rebuild the offensive line. And everybody knows we signed two guards and a center to completely remake the interior of Caleb Williams' offensive line. Now, that's Joe Thuney and Jonah Johnson at the guards and Drew Dahlman at center. Now, that being said, everybody was kind of thinking, oh, well, we need to draft offensive. Well, we've kind of, you know, rectified that problem through free agency, which allowed Ben Johnson, and make no mistake, you know, when you draft Colston Loveland at number 10 in the first round, and then Luther Burden, a wide receiver that was, you know, by almost any draft chart I looked at, was somewhere in the middle of the first round, talent level wise, you know, you basically, this isn't Ryan Poles doing the drafting. This is Ben Johnson.
Did you hear what people. I said in the opening volley? That was one of his demands. I mean, do I know it for a fact? Was I there? No, I wasn't. But I know the knowledge of this game. I've been around it for a long time. And he had the power. Come in here. You want me. I want this money. I want control of every player. I want control of the trades. Who's going to start? Who's not going to start? I would bet a ton on that, that's exactly what happened. And I'm going to tell you what. When I mentioned earlier what Ben Johnson told Caleb, I want you to start relearn, and I named all the things, the procedures, the huddle, etc. You go back to last year, this past season, folks, we got off to so many miserable starts. And this game is about passing the football. That's how you win in the National
Football
League.
I think we only scored one touchdown in the first quarter all year.
Yeah. Well, let me give you another one that might just top that, big man. Okay? In the 17 games that we played last season in the first quarter, which you should open up and go after somebody and make your statement early, we averaged roughly around 29 yards passing in the first quarter in 17 games. And this is the National Football League. You wonder why we lost? You wonder why we're a terrible football team? You wonder why we have terrible coaches? Some of these guys in that front office got to take a hard look at themselves. And I think what happened with Ben Johnson, Dan and Andy, and you listeners, is I'll say it again. I think he made the demands, and the Bears met his demands or otherwise, I don't think Ben would have come here because he would have went to 31 other teams in the National Football League. He was the number one pick to be a head coach by everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't, you know, Ben Johnson did say when he came to Chicago, I'm not going to run the same offense I did in Detroit. I want to see what I have. I want to see the player. But he knows the type of player that can succeed in what he has in mind, and this kid probably can.
Andy, could that possibly have been a camouflage statement?
It could have been.
Trying to tell everybody, hey, we're not going to run the same thing in Detroit.
But we want another tight end.
Won the Super Bowl. Yeah. Who are you talking to, buddy? I don't believe that.
Well, but my interpretation of that was a backhanded slap at Jared Goff and a compliment to Caleb Williams and his skill set. Folks, back when you was going through all the different things he talked about, the cadence, the huddle, but most important was motion. Folks don't realize how much of an asset a team that can devise certain opportunities with motion that not only tip off the quarterback to what defense he's going to be looking at before the snap, but more importantly, it gives you a schematic advantage over the defense because you're basically creating a certain matchup that you are desiring. Now, all that being said, I think, and we all know, Jared Goff, let's and this offense of the Detroit Lions, remember, Jared Goff, he was the first, you know, pick in the draft, but the Rams basically threw him out with the bathwater. They made the trade to get Matt Stafford, and they said, hey, here, have him. You know, good luck.
And Ben look at what he did with him.
And Ben Johnson recalibrated him and put him at a level where the Detroit offense the last 3 years has operated in the top three, you know, spots of total offense each and every year. It's incredible. But I think what he's talking about is the fact that if indeed Caleb, and let me just go one step further. Your point about Ben Johnson being the number one coaching candidate for all of the teams. I think there were 9 or 10 teams this year that, you know, fired their coach and was looking at potential new head coaching candidates. Of those 10 teams, Ben Johnson had his pick of the litter last year, and they basically gave him the Washington, you know, Commander's job on a platter, and he refused. He stayed in Detroit. Part of it was they didn't have a quarterback. They hadn't drafted Daniels yet. But the point being is the reason he – and let's go back – remember the nonsense? The Bears, you know, compiled a 25 name list of college coaches you never heard. All this, and I was saying, you're making this mistake. Find the guy you want and go get him. Don't make a list. Impugn this guy by saying, oh, we've got 20 other people that were in. No, we want you. But guess what? Ben Johnson basically came to the Bears and said, I want this job.
Okay, great. Let me just jump in and add to that, Danny. That's why when I said, when I gave you, where do we start or where did Ben Johnson start? He wanted to start with Caleb. And when he said, he's got to relearn. That's another word to use. You've got to relearn how to play in the NFL level. And what he means by NFL level is winning. He's got to relearn. And then he named the words that he has to learn. Procedure, huddle, breaking the huddle, using the cadence to his advantage. Motion, excuse me, Danny, what you just said, which comes to shifts. You know, moving the back forward, moving the tight end out, the slot man, etc. And I'll tell you what, and to attack the defense. This, folks, I love what's going on with this guy and his staff, and I like the words that he has used. He said he has to relearn. I'm talking about Caleb Williams. I think what Dan said, he has the talent, or we think he has the talent. Caleb Williams I'm talking about. Ben Johnson sees it. And that's when he said he's got to relearn. And he named all the reasons why. And again, to the team, crystal clear. Let me be crystal clear. There'll be nobody jumping around looking at the stands. There'll be nobody walking off the field. Because if you do, keep walking till your hat floats.
All right, we have more coming up here on our Hampton OB Draft Special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's get into the newsroom.
You know, that's something Ben and I have talked about. I know that's something he can handle, and he's going to have conversations with the guys about, just in terms of being selfless and doing what's best for the team. You know, we got to win football games. And I know that the more talent you have on the team, the better your opportunity is to win games. And we haven't won a lot of games here. So, yeah, things might be a little bit different. You may not be the only person. But at the end of the day, the goal is for us to win.
Now back to the Hamp and OB NFL Draft Special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That, of course, is the GM, Ryan Poles.
Well, guess what, Andy? Ben Johnson just saved Brian Poles' job. Okay? Yeah. Let me make that very clear. Ben Johnson just saved Poles' job.
Let's hope that it results in a lot of wins. But, you know, Hamp, we were talking before the show about the fact that Ryan Poles has a little bit of a luxury this year because of what he was able to do in free agency. The Bears, for the first time in a long time, are actually not drafting out of necessity. They're drafting players that are athletic and the best available.
Well, the age-old kind of formula is either you draft out of need or to enhance. I think we've kind of segued into a bit of the enhancement. And, you know, it's basically verified by the fact they went and got a tight end to, you know, operate in tandem with Cole Kmet. Now, did they have to have a tight end? No, but we are in a position where this kid had a special, you know, a level of talent that we said, hey, we want him to be a part of this team. By the way,
Dan, that's an addition to an offensive set with a two tight end set. You can damage a lot of people with that. Now, one other thing that might come in. So why did they draft this kid Loveland? And I just said they're going to go with, not all the time, but a two-in set. The other thing is, Danny, is it possibly that they might trade Cole Kmet?
No. Cole's going to be here, and it's a two. Again, this offense is...
You don't think that's that's a could-be?
No, and Cole Kmet, remember, he and Jalen Johnson are the only two draft-picked players by the Bears over the last 6 years that were offered a second contract.
Right.
Now, all that being said, a part of this that a lot of folks probably are, you know, wondering about is the talent level that we actually do have on the roster. Now, we know the Bears did not play good football last year. We were, you know...
They were pathetic.
So much of that has to do with coaching. And once a good and smart coaching staff comes in, breaks the film down, assesses the players that were here, they basically were saying, hey, guess what? These players can get a lot better. Guys like Braxton Jones, yep, the left tackle, who will be the starter. Now, we did draft Ozzie Trapillo in the second round, a monster of a guy, 6'8", 320-pound offensive tackle. By the way, he played almost 800 snaps last year. How many penalties do you think he had? Zero.
How many? Zero.
Now, think about this, folks. This offensive line was such a joke last year. We gave up 68 sacks, the most in franchise history. 68 sacks with maybe the most mobile quarterback in the NFL. All that being said, Ben Johnson, his staff, with guys like Antoine L.
First move that Ben Johnson made, after he got his team and his coaches, folks, the first thing he did was fix the offensive line.
Yes,
he did. Or make it better. And that's exactly what he did. Listen, folks, let me tell you, you could have whoever you think is the greatest quarterback to ever played or ever will play, no matter how you look at it. And you know how good he's going to be? If you don't have five guys up front, That quarterback is going to be one of the worst, and he's going to get killed, and he'll be working at a deli in about 3-4 years. You got to have 5 guys to protect. If a guy is that good with his accuracy and the strength in his arms and his smartness as a team leader, you got to protect him. We never did it. Year after year after year after year. Nobody could figure this out. You got to have 5 guys up front that can actually play and protect a quarterback. Why? Because what kind of a league is this? This is a passing league. You win with passing. Running complements the passing. You got to pass in this league to win.
Now, a little nugget, the backstory about Colston Loveland. Remember, Ben Johnson was coaching the Detroit Lion, you know, offense. Right up the road in Michigan, he watched Colston Loveland. Last year, he had a better year than he did this year. This year, they didn't have a quarterback at the University of Michigan, and a lot of injuries, things did not work out, and he didn't have the same type of year. But he was so good last year. He was first team Big Ten. This year, he was overshadowed a little bit by the Penn State tight end, Tyler Warren, who went 3 picks after him in the first round. But here's the backstory. We all have a lot of respect for our buddy Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Harbaugh recruited him. Harbaugh, you know, gave Ben Johnson the highest, you know, endorsement for this young man. But think about this. The new tight end coach is a guy by the name of Jim Dray. Jim Dray played tight end for Jim Harbaugh at the University of Stanford. Now, you see how all this is kind of falling into place?
I hear you, big man.
Yes. And I am a big believer in Antoine Randall L. He was a terrific receiver in the league. He's the receiver coach. So we don't have a bunch of doofuses trying to coach kids to do something they were unfamiliar with. Now, Jim Dray was a tight end. He is the tight end. It makes perfect sense. And I'm telling you, this you know, addition of Loveland to Cole Kmet, this is going to be special to watch.
Danny, what's happening in today's game? And folks, believe me, I don't think this is an I know. I'm going to tell you, the tight end, you get the tight end involved in your passing game, whether it's in the flat, whether it's a curl pad, no matter what it is. If you get that guy getting 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 passes a game, what that does, it opens up your passing game. The strong safety and the weak safety, who do they have to be accountable? If he is the one coming over the middle or going up into a post pattern or a straight fly pattern from the tight end position, I'm telling you, folks, you have a tight look at all, like Dan mentioned, Laporte from Detroit. The kid is a phenomenal tight end. What? They use him every game. Cole Kmet, we could go 2-3 games and not even have him targeted, let alone throw the damn football to him.
You guys,
what went on here is Dan Borders criminal.
Do you remember the game in London where they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars? Really their best game of the year. What did the offense do? They featured Cole Kmet. What did he have, 12 touches?
Yeah, 2 touchdowns.
How many times have I said last year and the year before, use the tight end?
And
use the tight end, and we don't.
And you know what happened? The receivers were basically behind the scenes. Oh, this, you know, we're the receiver. And the offense was derailed from that point on.
Coaches didn't know how to handle it.
Ben Johnson will not allow that to happen. And one more thing, just one more thing. The thing about it is, think of the teams in the NFL right now that have been notorious with winning. The Kansas City Chiefs, what do they got? They've got a great tight end in Travis Kelce.
And
think
guess
about
what?
The
they
49ers.
Got 5 guys up front that can play in this league.
And George Kittle.
And who are they protecting?
Of the 49ers. Laporte, the tight end has almost become synonymous with excellence with an offense. Now we've got 2 of them.
All right, we'll break down a couple of the other draft choices that the Bears made. They actually just made a pick in the 6th round, an offensive tackle out of Michigan State, Luke Newman. 6'4", 315-pound gentleman, and we'll talk more about him and some of the others that they got. They had an interesting wide receiver in the second round who thought he should have gone in the first round, and I think this may end up benefiting the Bears in some respect because this kid is not the happiest of happiness because he felt like he should have been drafted in the first round. So we'll talk a little bit about him as well. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I mean, I watch a lot of his, you know, games because, I mean, he's, you know, his number one pick. And, I mean, he's been nice since, you know, I've known him. So I'm definitely a big fan of him and excited to get to work with him.
Now back to the Hamp and OB NFL Draft Special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Back, Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That was the voice of Luther Burden III, a wide receiver out of Missouri who was taken with the 39th overall pick by the Bears very early in round two, a 5'11 player that is said to have a lot of yards after the catch, yards after hit as well. But you could kind of tell in his voice as he was talking about his new quarterback, Caleb Williams, he wasn't exactly thrilled about being picked in the second round. He expected to be picked in the first. And I don't know, that could hopefully that works to his advantage where he can use that momentum for himself on the field and not dwell on that.
Every year you get a bunch of kids that have been whispered to, you're going to be a first round, and it doesn't work out. And it's about how you react to it. And let's hope Luther Burden goes ahead and puts a chip on his shoulder and goes about his business and tries to prove not only every game, but every play that, hey, I should have been a first round pick. Let me tell you this. Andy, the Hogs, my alma mater, we had to play Missouri every year. This guy is a hog killer. He killed us. And I was thrilled when, you know, I saw the Bears draft him. I think he was 39th overall. Yep, is that correct? 39. All that being said, to me, it's on this draft chart, you know, evaluation, they always give you comps. People, you know, that another player that he would remind you of, it says Stephon Diggs. Now, remember, Stephon Diggs was a sixth-round pick out of Maryland that became an all-pro. And, you know, you use that fuel of not being drafted high enough to, you know, kind of shake the league up. Let's hope it works again. But I'll tell you, another comp in my mind is DJ Moore. They are very similar. They're not the biggest guy, but they come down with contested balls. They attack the zone defenses, and they've got speed to run away from people. So, you know, I this is all starting to kind of, you know, crystallize. You get, you know, a second tight end, you get a third receiver. And now we're getting some offensive line help. As you said, the sixth-round pick is a 6'3", 312-pound individual from Michigan State by the name of Luke Newman, who will be, I'm almost certain, he will be projected to play inside, maybe even at center, but probably at guard. But at the end of the day, this draft, and we will talk about this as the year goes on and maybe 5 years from now. OB, this is the Ben Johnson. Let's you know, rebuild the team overnight draft weekend.
I hear you, Danny. And you know, a lot of these players, some guys that are picked in the first, second, third, and fourth round, you know, or third round are, you know, supposedly shoo-ins or whatever have you. But I'll tell you something. There's been a lot of great players between the fourth and seventh rounds that have been phenomenal players in this league, winners, Hall of Famers. So I'm not worried about if a guy was drafted in the first or the fourth or the seventh round. You know, it's up to these individual kids. And when they come to camp, they got to come with that attitude of winning, of being a champion. And I'm going to tell you what, I think these kids right here that all we drafted, I think they're going to make some surprises to this team, Danny, that weren't expected. I think the kids that we've drafted so far, some of them are going to make some pretty good moves. And I'll tell you what, their best move again, Ben Johnson. And I'll go back to what I said in the opening volley here. Ben Johnson, he is the man. And I told you, I'm not a betting man, but I would bet on it that when he came here, the Bears met every one of his demands, or he is not coming here. I truly believe that. And what he is saying to the players and what he has said to everybody, his coaches, I want to be crystal clear, and he wants to reset Caleb Williams, rethink in the NFL level. That's what he said. He's got to rethink him. Rethink him. I love that. I just absolutely love it. And I think we're going to finally go places with some quality coaches and bring the Bears back to greatness, Dan. You remember when you played? My God, what a team you guys had. I mentioned before, supposedly you don't like that word. But anyway, the greatest team to ever be assembled. And it's more than believable. But I'll tell you what, this is enough what's been going on here. This is enough. You got 17 games coming up. He's starting on the right foot. I hope this draft turns out to be great, and I hope the attitude of the Bears is one thing, be a world champion.
Take a look at the other draft choices just to this point. We mentioned, of course, Colson Loveland, number one. Luther Burden, the third from Missouri, the wide receiver, was taken at 39. The Bears actually ended up with 3 second-round picks. Ozzie Trapillo, a large, large human being at 6'8", 318 pounds, who played right tackle at Boston College, was drafted 56th overall. Shamar Turner, a defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. The scouts love his hands, apparently. He was drafted at number 62 overall. In the fourth round, the Bears drafted a linebacker by the name of Ruben Hippolyte, the second. He is from Maryland. He had a 4.42 40. This kid is really fast, and I'm not exactly sure if he'll project as a linebacker in the NFL or kind of a nickel situation with him, but he can fly. Zoff Frazier from the University of Texas San Antonio, a cornerback, checking in the fifth round. He had 6 picks last year that set a school record. And we just mentioned Luke Newman out of Michigan State, the offensive tackle, with the 6th-round pick, number 195. The Bears have 1 pick left, and that is in the 7th round. It'll be number 233 overall. Right now they're on about pick 203, so it'll be a few more minutes.
You know, the good thing here, real quickly, guys, what they made through free agency and bringing in, what, basically almost 4 new starters that have played in this league, and what I've seen in the draft so far, Danny, I like what I've seen. I like what they've done, and a couple of big linemen, and I'm going to tell you what, this has been just too long, folks, just too long of lousy, lousy football. The Chicago Bears, my God, we basically started football, and I think Ben Johnson, I truly believe this from the bottom of my heart, this guy is going to bring us back to greatness. Greatness.
You know, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the defense and the luxury. Think about this. Eberflus shows up 4 years ago. It's 4 now, right?
It only seems like 10.
Yeah, it seemed like a lifetime. But he shows up, and essentially he had never been a head coach at any time. Nobody on the staff had been a head coach. And it was obvious when you saw how this team never progressed and never did things the correct way.
The coaches didn't know what the hell they were doing,
they
Dan.
Didn't. But think about this. Ben Johnson has the luxury of having a defensive coordinator by the name of Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen was a 2-time head coach in the NFL. So in the abstract, he could kind of lean a little bit on him as far as, you know, the team concept. But more importantly, Dennis Allen, who has, over the years, had very effective defenses. He was in they weren't in Las Vegas at the time, were they? Were they in Vegas when he got fired?
I think they were in Vegas when he got fired.
Okay, so
yeah.
Anyway, they had a pretty good defense. But in New Orleans, 2 years ago, they were top 5. So the long and short of it is, we have gotten some you know, additional players that hopefully will suit what he wants to do on defense. And we'll talk about this young man, Hippolyte, yeah, and what he is capable of bringing to the field.
I hope one word he uses is attack. It's enough already defensively.
Go.
It's taking, getting people slapping us around, throwing us around. That's enough already. shove it down their throats. Bears are coming back.
All right, we'll talk defense when we come back from our news break.
Eason dragged down by Steve McMichael, fumbles. The Bears have it. They rule it. Yes, it is a fumble. And number 99, Dan Hampton, has it for the Bears.
Our Hampton OB Draft Special is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, Andy Mazur, alongside the fellas. And we heard from the late Dick Enberg there during Super Bowl 20. And we'd like to take a moment here at least to acknowledge and to honor the memory of Steve Mongo McMichael, who passed away earlier in the week. And after a brave and courageous four-year battle with ALS, and just thankfully he was able to see himself get into the Hall of Fame where he belongs, and belonged a long time ago, probably, from the numbers. The guy played 191 consecutive games, which is still the Bears' record. He's second in franchise history in sacks, 92.5. The only guy better was Richard Dent, and he's in the Hall of Fame as well. So, Hamp, I know you had a special relationship with him. You played right next to him for several years. Just give us your thoughts about Mongo.
Yeah, well, for 10 years he was beside me, whether I played left end or right tackle. And he was like my wingman and my buddy. I went to see him a few weeks ago. And, you know, it's an insidious, awful disease. And, you know, he was in a really bad place. You know, he couldn't – he lost all movement 2 years ago, and I was able to kind of brighten his day a little bit, and we knew it was coming, OB, and you know, there's nothing you can say other than he's in a better place now. And I don't know, a lot of folks are asking, is there going to be some type of an event, whether it's a celebration or a funeral? I don't know anything, but I do know this, that for a long, long time, people will remember the greatness of Steve McMichael.
Well, he did it on the field. And, Danny, I know how close you two were. And, you know, you look at guys that have played this game, you know, from year to year, different positions, et cetera, et cetera. I'll tell you what, there's a kid. He gave it his all, Danny.
He did.
And from when I looked at it, I mean, folks, he went every play. Every play. Every play he was in there. He didn't go out for two plays, three plays, two downs, three downs, take half a game off. He was out there every play and gave every damn thing he had. You want to know why? And that's why they were the world champions. And that's why this kid gave it all, folks. I'm looking for things to say because there are other things I'd like to say, but he just... He really let it out on that field, Danny. You two guys were number one, number two in the league, period. You guys were the best.
Well, thank you. And you know what? It kind of brings us to the defense today. And when you put a defense together, folks, you've got a couple of different routes. You could have, you know, super players or just a super scheme. And Dennis Allen has, you know, certain ideas about what he wants to do with this defense. And the first thing, and I think it fits hand in glove with what you just said Steve McMichael brought to the field, which is a tenacity to not only play great, but play great for his teammates.
He was in there every play, Danny. You were in there every play. Dent was in there every play.
And week after week, we looked at Montez Sweat, the best player, you know, on our defense. And Montez Sweat was playing maybe 60% of the time. And
Danny, the last game of the year, last year, folks, up in Green Bay, okay? Green Bay had 65 offensive plays. He played in 34 plays. He missed 31 plays. And he's making basically his contract for 3 or 4 years is $100 million. And going back the week before that, he played maybe three quarters, maybe a half. One time he played 40% of a game, making this kind of money. And you think we're going to win world championships with a guy like that? I'm surprised that Ben Johnson, somewhere along the line, Dan, doesn't get rid of him. My God, Where's your pride? Where's your pride? You want to be out on the field. Give everything you can. Sack the quarterback. Drop a running back down. Knock him on his back. Do whatever. Not sit on the bench or stand on the sideline and watch other players out there doing the job that you're paid to do and you're supposed to do, and you don't show up. That guy aggravates the hell out of me.
He does. And you know what? And again, just as Caleb Williams needs to relearn the fundamentals of playing his position, well, Montez Sweat needs to relearn the fundamentals of what it means
to be a teammate,
to be a leader. Now, remember last year, they came out with, what, 8 captains?
Yeah.
And one of them was, you know, a rookie quarterback. I mean, what asinine, you know, nonsense is that? And if I was Montez Sweat, I would go in and tell Ben Johnson, what I've done thus far is just going to pale in comparison to what I'm going to do from now on. And he needs to redouble his effort, his intensity, and his attitude. Now, think about this.
Dan, we're not going to win a championship. And that's why, again, you play this damn football game. You don't play it to come in a second. And every one of the 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, they've got to put everything into it, every play. And this guy doesn't show up.
He doesn't. And that goes back to the fact that the Bears are losers. They're losers right now. And, you know, if I was the coach, I'd say you're losers. And you got to find a way to change it. And they've been losing for a long time. And to be a winner, you have to find a way to change what you are able to bring to the field. You have to learn to win. And that is with commitment and effort, intensity, all the things that Montez Sweat needs to bring to the field. And if he does have this come to Jesus moment, then that is a really good place for Dennis Allen to start with our defense.
Well, let's hope what you just said happens to Montez Sweat, because I'll tell you what, Danny, this guy cannot, and I don't think Ben Johnson or Allen is going to let a guy play basically half a game, 60% of the game, making the kind of monies he's making, and his effort should be on that field, not standing or sitting on a bench. Okay, it's got to be out on the field. He's got to come and play his heart out every game. The guy has talent. He has talent. Okay? Show it on the field. Show it every play, every quarter, every game. Be a true champion.
And one of the free agent signings, they brought in the 3 offensive linemen to rebuild the interior of the offensive line. But one of the guys they brought in is a player that the Falcons let go by the name of Grady Jackson. And Grady Jackson has been, I don't know how much he's got left, but he's been a very good player that has that type of grit and spirit that you can build a winning team around. Let's hope that having Grady Jackson around is a kind of a mentor to him to teach him that, hey, playing in the NFL isn't about making $20 million a year and looking good in your uniform and then drinking water on the sideline after you played 5 plays.
It just kind of shows you the lack of leadership both in the locker room and also in the coaches' offices from last year, because these guys were able to get away with it.
Absolutely.
There was no repercussions and no consequences.
And guess what? That's what Ben Johnson, you think he didn't recognize that coming over here? Because that's what he said when he said, let me be crystal clear, you will adhere. And if you don't, we will make changes.
Well, all good defenses, they have to start up front. And Andrew Billings was more valuable to this team than Montez Sweat was last year. And when Billings got injured late in the year, the whole defense kind of collapsed.
Danny,
and that's senseless.
There's one thing that holds true in the history of the game of the National Football League. You win up front. You win with an offensive line and a defensive line. That's where it starts. And if you don't have the 5 guys on offense or the 4 or 3 guys on defense, you're not going to win. Plain and simple.
More coming up on our Bears draft show today. The Bears still about 10 or 12 picks still away from their final one of the evening. in the seventh round. We'll let you know what that turns out to be coming up here in a little bit.
I mean, it means everything, bro. To me, you can't be a football player, especially a D lineman, putting your nose in there, putting your hand in the dirt, if you ain't got a little something to you, bro. So you always got to play with a little fire, with a little edge, bro. I feel like that's what makes football exciting, too, you know? Get to bounce around and, you know, get the guys hyped up.
The voice there of Shamar Turner, one of the Bears' second-round picks, defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. Our draft special with Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I don't know why it just came to my mind, but I was thinking about another stat that I heard about Colston Loveland, the young man that the Bears picked with the number one, their number one overall pick, number 10, that he comes from that small town in Idaho, and the Bears have more employees that work at Hallis Hall than this kid grew up in the town with.
That's crazy. Crazy. Back to Shamar Turner. A&M, they were, you know, a really solid defense. He was, you know, one of the top two defensive linemen. I think his teammate was drafted in the first round. But he, when we pair him and Gervon Dexter, our number two last year, and Zach Pickens, our number three last year's draft, we've got a chance, you know, with Grady Jarrett. I said Jackson, it's my fault. But Grady Jarrett, who has always been a real solid player. I don't know if he, you know, made a number of Pro Bowls or anything like that, but he was kind of like their bell cow. He was their leader, and he was a gritty player for the Atlanta Falcons, and they haven't been good, but those are the kind of players you want. You know, it's easy to want to play every play when you're, you know, playing, you know, on a world championship team. But when you're, you know, in one of those teams like the Falcons, kind of bumping and grinding and trying to find your way, if you can become a mainstay for that franchise, that's a great thing. And the collection they have put together, I can see the defense being, you know, much improved. Now, earlier we talked about the young man from Maryland, the linebacker.
Ruben Hippolyte. Hippolyte. Sorry.
Who ran a 4.25?
Yeah, he's fast, and you know, it's got people wondering exactly where he might play.
Well, and see, that is part of the big scheme. Think about last year when Kyler Gordon was nicked up, and they were basically playing him as a nickel linebacker. He would come in and displace the third linebacker, and he's tiny. And he, you know, he may have been our best blitzer, but he was tiny and he was, you know, getting injured a lot. This kid with this kind of speed, that is just, you know, set up perfectly for him to be, you know, the nickel man and be able to bring it on blitzes and the 4.25 speed. I mean, that's unheard of. You know, when Wilbur Marshall was added to our defense, it gave us a whole new dimension because of his speed. You know, Otis and Singletary, they were big and fast and all that. But Wilbur could run. He had like running back speed. And that gives your defense a great element of matchup, you know, prowess that a lot of defenses don't have, that we didn't have. So, and what is he, 257, something like that?
He's a 245. Oh, that's what he was listed at.
Okay.
Least. But, you know, he
might
be bigger.
The point being is, I mean, he's bigger and more durable than Kyler Gordon. So, you know, especially, and whoever takes over in Detroit, you know, they're going to keep running the ball with Montgomery and Gibbs. I mean, you're going to have nickelback size, you know, linebackers playing that position. You can't just live with Kyler Gordon, who's 180.
Yeah. You know, it's too, we're talking about, you know, you and Mongo as the defensive tackles and guys playing inside. I don't know if fans realize how important that those two positions are in the whole overall scheme of things, not just with the run game, but also in the pass game and occupying blockers. And Grady Jarrett is a guy that, every piece of tape you see on this guy, he's taking on two blockers.
There you go. And, you know, it, essentially, as a defensive lineman, yeah, you're expected to rush the passer. Yes, you're expected to play the blocks, get off, make tackle. But the really dirty work that makes the defense perform at such a high level is when you can force the offense to account for you by putting a couple of people on you. Somebody's, you know, do the math. Somebody's open. Somebody's able to flow, run to the ball, to blitz, untouched, to create, you know, opportunities, to force turnovers, all those different things. So, yeah, it's inherent upon this group of interior defensive linemen to be wreckers. And, you know, when before Richard Dent went into the Hall of Fame, you know, I was talking to a reporter, and I was saying, you know, in our defense, Mongo and I were like the wreckers. And then we had a bunch of guys like Dent and Otis and Wilbur that were the chasers that could go get people. And if we can kind of cultivate that type of personnel on defense, that style of play, man, it's only going to be, you know, better down the road when we, you know, are expecting to be a good football team and match up with some of the better teams in the league. And we looked at our schedule. We've got some games against some pretty good teams next
year.
Yes,
we do. The away schedule really looks tough. You know, outside of our three guys, we got to go to the Eagles. We got to go to Washington, the Ravens, the Bengals, the 49ers. And the Raiders, you know, there's only one weak team that I see on that side of it. But, yeah.
Of those games, only the Raiders did not make the playoffs. So that's going to be murder's row next year. When we pack our bags, we better pack a lunch.
You know what, Danny? I think what's going to happen with this guy, I think this guy, Ben Johnson, And again, not to talk in circles, but to go back, I think he came here on his demands. And he wanted all of his demands met. Now, do I know that for a fact? No, I don't. But do I believe it? Yes, I believe it. And I'm going to tell you what. I think offensively, you're going to see different formations. I mean, we're going to open up the passing game. You're going to get the quarterback out of the pocket. And defensively, I think, Danny, we're going to come with an attack defense, something that we haven't done. Hell, I couldn't tell you since we've had an attack defense. And if you're going to play defense, there's only one thing you do. You attack, okay? Somebody sets up a defense where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, but you play it with the attack in your mind. Believe me what I'm telling you. That's how you win a world championship, not by sitting on your haunches or hoping the guy next to you is going to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it every play. When I played 11 years, and Danny, I remember I didn't even know at the particular time a few years ago, I went 7 years, never missed a play.
Incredible.
I never missed a play. Not a series of downs, not a game, didn't miss a play. And we got a guy making almost $100 million, and you can't find them. I don't get it, but I'm telling you, I think those days are over with, Andy.
Let's
and Dan.
Yep.
They're over with, folks. You're going to see sweat out. You're going to see everybody out there giving everything they have, and if they're not, I'll bet a ton of money, they will be gone. They will be gone. Under Ben Johnson, you're going to show up.
All right, when we come back from our news break, we're going to revisit the trade that the Bears made with the Carolina Panthers. It's all official now, and everybody's been drafted, and every pick has been made. And
it's almost criminal.
We're going to tell you. I hope you're sitting down when we come back and tell you about this, the results of this trade.
We had our first quiz in QB room, and it's not like a real quiz where you go up and write stuff. It's just us. We went over a few things yesterday, talked about a few things, and you know Ben you know walked in, flung open the door, you know made a grand entrance, and then we got to work of you know him testing us about what we talked about yesterday.
Caleb Williams chatting about working with Ben Johnson already. Our draft special happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We hear from Caleb Williams because he was, as a result of the wheeling and the dealing with Ryan Poles in 2023 with the Carolina Panthers, you know, the Bears got the number one pick in 2024 as a result. They also got DJ Moore in that trade. But listen to what else the Bears got, and the Panthers receiving only Bryce Young. And he was the number one pick overall in 2023. So the Bears got Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, who was acquired with Carolina's second pick, the second number one pick back in 2023. They had the punter, Torrey Taylor. They got Tyreek Stevenson. And it comes to a close today or yesterday with the drafting of Luther Burden III. That's all the players, six players the Bears received as a result of one trade with Carolina, and Carolina receiving Bryce Young.
For an unproven player on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, yep. The number one overall pick. I mean,
well, he was benched about week 12 last year. And he
was
said,
unproven to begin with, Dan. Well, wait, no. Give up like all that, that's crazy.
Yeah, but he came back and did a little better. But all that being said, this, I mean, Ryan Poles could be arrested for larceny. I mean, you've got six starters, and maybe three of them have a chance to be all pro at some point in their career.
I mean, it's insane. And you know, there were folks at the time that didn't want to give up that number one pick. I don't think they were intending on either drafting C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young at that point. I don't think that was what was in the plans, because they had Justin Fields.
You know what? Just for one second here, I'd like to give a shout out to the Chicago Tribune's Dan Wiederer. Guess who he picked the Bears to take in the pick?
In his mock draft?
You got it.
Yeah. I'm going to go along with you. I'm going to say he got it right.
You got Colson Loveland. That's who Dan Wiederer from the Tribune picked in his draft that we would take in the first part, you know, first draft.
One of the I don't know. You know, you remember how when Mahomes came in here 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and they scored a touchdown, and he was going like, you know, with his fingers counting where he was taken in the draft compared to, you know,
Trubisky,
Mitchell Trubisky. Trust me, these players, they keep up with their contemporaries, and they kind of watch what they do in the league compared to what, you know, they are doing. And you know, at some point, that, you know, you got to think that everybody that has any kind of a brain for the game of football knows that Caleb Williams is going to be a much, much better player than Bryce Young. But think of the other players we got in that draft. Mm. I mean, DJ Moore, borderline Pro Bowler, Darnell Wright, he started for 2 years. Who knows? He could develop into a Pro Bowler. Torrey Taylor did excellent last year punting. And then, of course, Tyreek Stevenson, we know what happened with him. But he was a second-round pick that we got in this deal that has the ability, maybe with a new regime change and new attitude, maybe he will go ahead and progress and project into a quality starter. And then in this year's draft, we got Luther Burden, who – in every mock draft I watched and looked at, they had him somewhere in the middle of the first round going, you know, as a wide receiver.
And he fell to 39, and the Bears grabbed him in the second round.
Well, Ben Johnson, his words, communication, structure, organized, consistent, and if you don't do it, you're going to have a problem with me. That's what he told the players, and I tell you what, if you got half a brain in your head, some of you players, you better adhere to those words, and you better conform to what the man is saying, or you're not going to be here.
And we just heard Caleb Williams alluding to the moment that Ben Johnson kind of came into the room, and they got down to work. Well, a lot of that work, you know, is behind the scenes. It has to be about his footwork. I remember last year a number of different quarterback gurus were constantly talking about how poor his fundamentals in the pocket were, that led to errant throws
and sacks.
And we had 68 sacks, and we had a number of errant throws. So those are the things that have to be dealt with and addressed between now and when camp opens in July.
Dan, Ben Johnson did. These are Ben Johnson's word to Caleb. He said, playing, he's got to relearn. That first year he said that he's got to relearn everything. And he started out by playing in the NFL level. Playing in the NFL, not at playing in the NFL level. His also, his procedure, his huddle, breaking the huddle, using cadence, motion, which you mentioned, shifts, to attack the defense. That's what Ben Johnson told Caleb Williams. And I assume Caleb Williams understands that and will adhere to those words.
Well, one of the things that I think is big picture that Ben Johnson, again, and we've talked about this now for almost 2 hours, changing the culture, changing the not only self-perception.
Absolutely, Dan.
But folks, and I think I once a year or so, I kind of alluded to this, that during the 80s, there were about three franchises that were always looked at kind of like the Chiefs are today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do things the right way. They win. They go to Super Bowls. And everybody goes, we have to be like that. Now, all that being said, think about Ben Johnson's metamorphosis of the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions have never been to a Super Bowl. They have been a running joke in the NFL for, what, 30 years? And then the last 2 years with Dan Campbell at the helm, he has been so instrumental and right there watching how he has changed that culture, Dan, and the work ethic.
I think the last time Detroit won it, a championship, was 1957.
There you go.
I think if that my recall is correct, I believe it was 1957. You know, what have they won? Nothing.
That was a great year. I was born. Anyway, the point being, that's a long time ago. And for the first time in, you know, a cow's age, hey, they are not only respected, but they are looked at as one of the perennial favorites to not only win the division, but be a factor in going to a Super Bowl.
Their head coach holds every one of those players and every one of his coaches, he holds their feet to the fire. He does, Danny. He holds their feet to the fire. And if you don't, you're gone.
And doesn't Ben Johnson realize that? And it sounds
that's
like...
What do you think is going to happen here?
There you
I
go.
Don't think the stupid things that these players have done during an actual play and an NFL game while the play's running, they're waving at the fans, giving them the finger, doing this. Another one, he's mad because they didn't call his pass play. And while the play's going on, he walks off the field. And then I get Stevenson, goes to practice the next week, and he walks off practice because he was demoted, goes in the locker room, stays there for a while, and comes back out. Nothing happens to these guys. They're not fined. They're not suspended. Nothing. Danny, I will guarantee you this will not happen under Ben Johnson. You make one of those stupid moves, just keep walking east till your hat floats, buddy.
You know, tradition is a powerful thing. And a lot of teams, they kind of live on it for a long time, and it kind of gets them through some of the bad spots, you know, if they have a couple of bad years. But you got to think that Ben Johnson realizes, hey, I was a part of rebuilding the culture, the tradition of the Detroit Lions. Now, you know, over there, I was one of the guys in the choir. I was one of the coaches. Now I'm the head coach. I need to be the guy that rebuilds the Chicago Bear tradition. And man, if he can, hey, we are all on board.
Danny, I know you're pulling for him. I know I'm pulling for him. Andy, I know you're pulling for him. And you people that are listening to the show, and I know you're pulling for him. The Bears with George Halas basically started the world of professional football. This town, this is the franchise of football. This town is the franchise of football. And I hope Ben Johnson truly mean this, Dan. Finally, I think we've got the guy. And bring the Bears back to greatness. Bring the Bears back to greatness. Enough is enough already. Too many mistakes. Too many excuses. That's all gone now. This is all new with a guy that knows how to win. Do it.
All right, when we come back, we'll have our final segment. And I want to get your thoughts realistically, what we might be able to expect from a Ben Johnson-led Chicago Bears team. You know, we've heard all of the things that he has done. Again, that's as an assistant coach. He's going to step into the role. So I want
to. Are you going to say the number 4,000? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to say
I'll explain it when we get back.
I know exactly what you're talking about, the number 4,000. So we'll get your thoughts on that when we come back.
Ben Johnson's all about winning, Andy.
All right. Save it for when we come back because I want to get your thoughts on that. And we'll wrap up the show here in just a moment.
A first-time head coach, being able to address a room, that's important because you feel that as players. You feel that as, you know what I mean, just everybody in the room and, you know what I mean, stepped up there with confidence. You know, guys was all ears, you know what I mean, gave him the utmost respect. And that's what it's all about.
Our draft special happened to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Tremaine Edmonds talking a little bit about the command of the room that our friend Ben Johnson's already had with this NFL team.
He needs to turn it up a couple of notches, too.
Yeah, I agree. And, it's easy to cop out and say that some of these players like Tyreek Stevenson and Montez Sweat were kind of developed from their environment. I mean, they were not being held accountable for things.
We are not a disciplined football team.
That's what it is. I mean, there was
we're an undisciplined football team. That's exactly what the hell we are, and our record shows it.
So now you've got a first-time head coach coming into the building of a charter franchise in the National Football League, knowing how hungry the city of Chicago is to watch a team get back to where it's supposed to be
and where it should be.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts? I mean, realistically, what to expect from Ben Johnson in year number one?
Realistically, and again, this goes hand in glove with your maxim, OB, that this is a throwing league and you throw to score, you run to win. All those different max. I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. And I don't think Ben Johnson is going to come out and kind of, you know, do it by the numbers and have the starter kit. I think he's going to be, you know, a kind of a fan of trying to attack people on offense. We know Dennis Allen will attack on defense. I'm not really worried about it. And again, Tremaine Edmonds, Montez Sweat, a bunch of, if they turn it up, if they play the way they are capable, our defense will be okay. But on offense, OB, the number 4,000 has never been used in describing a quarterback's year performance in Chicago. Think about that. We're the only franchise that a quarterback has never thrown for 4,000 yards.
So far, we've only had one quarterback in the history of this game, okay? And that's Sid Luckman.
There you go. And
some people are saying, who?
Yeah. But all that being said, I think we're going to see a very effective,
You're going to see a more organized team offensively and defensively. I think there's going to be decisive game plans on what they're going to do, and I think you're going to see the tight ends being used constantly in game to game, and you're going to see play action. You're going to see rollouts. You're going to get the kid out of the pocket. I tell you what, Dan, I'm excited about that. And with Allen talking about defensive coordinator, Danny, I think we're finally let those 11 guys go after those guys on offense. Let them attack, and that's – my God, one word, attack. Offensively, attack, defensively. I know folks are saying, oh, my God, what the hell is he talking about, whatever. I'm telling you, that's how you win in this league. You got to have a little luck, but your philosophy is attack, offensively and defensively. This game is not a nice game, okay? You don't pat somebody on the back, oh, this, oh, that. No, you go after people, and you take them down, and you win. That's what the hell it's all about.
One of the interesting sidebars to this season will be, a lot of people thought that, and I sent you a little meme of the Bears, they were scuttlebutt, that they were going to move up and try to get Ashton Jeanty, the running back, you know, from Boise State. And obviously it didn't happen. All that being said, where did DeAndre Swift come from? He came from Detroit.
Correct.
Ben Johnson, you know, obviously had, you know, Swift in that offense, and he was made expendable when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, think about that. DeAndre Swift is a very talented player, and yet Detroit said, we need somebody better.
No. Danny, we had the guy, Montgomery. Well, it's plain and simple. Guys like him don't come along too often. That guy, he plays when he's hurt, and he's a producer in running game and in the passing game, and he's got a great attitude, and what the hell do? We trade him to Detroit.
Well, essentially, my point being is that Detroit, with that offensive line and Jahmyr Gibbs, there were 3 points in the season last year where I was astonished how they basically rolled their sleeves up and took a game over, running the ball. And I know you want to pass, and I got it, and it's all great. But he was the guy that was the architect of that. And so I know in my heart, he knows how to get after people. He knows how to attack people, and he knows what is necessary to create winning football. And I'm ready for the season to start.
Great words, Danny. I agree with you 100%.
I'll make a bold prediction, too, that he is going to play the starters more often in the preseason games.
How about, is it last year? Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. Last year, how many games did our starting offensive line, how many plays did they even play in the
exhibition? It wasn't even 60.
Season? None.
Yeah. It was bad. And, you get off on the right foot by seeing what you have in game action, and I think that Ben Johnson, smart enough to realize that.
Oh, they're going to play. They're going to play him.
Smart enough to realize that. We've got to wrap it up here. We got about a minute to go, and this has been a blast getting back together with you guys. And I'm waiting. I can't wait for the season.
Well, and again, we're excited, not about just the players that we drafted, but about the direction of the franchise, because we've been doing this. I think this will be our 11th year together here on WGN OB, and in 2018. We got a little bit of a glimpse of being able to get after people, being dominant, especially on defense. And the offense was functional. But I think we have a chance, just like, back then, to kind of come out of nowhere, surprise some people. And just like the Washington Commanders kind of hung around, and then late in the season – nobody wanted to play them. They went in and beat Detroit. Remember that?
Yes, they did.
So I could see that type of a performance this year, where the team not only gets better but gains confidence as the season wears on. But your point about playing in the preseason, hell yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sick of going into games and watching the Chicago Bears play when they are unprepared. How many times did we use the word unprepared last year? Hopefully we'll never use it again.
Thank the football gods for Ben Johnson. We're going to win it, folks. Somewhere along the line in the very, very near future, we're going to win it with Ben Johnson. Fingers crossed.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.